Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we are in the Christmas season now, and I have a marvelous portrait that I want to share with you as we start heading toward that special day when we worship the Lord in Christmas Eve services and with our family and do all the things that we do. But this is the portrait that the Lord has put on my heart to share with you for this month of celebration. And that is that He is our eternal hope. Oh, the Lord is our eternal hope. Luke 1:50 puts it this way, and His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear and honor Him. And so I'm going to have a four-part series here for this month of December. We're going to talk about how the Lord, our eternal hope, is always there for us as He strengthens our fragile hope. That'll be today. Then we'll talk about how He blesses our humble hope. And then we'll talk about how He honors our trustful hope. And then we'll talk about how He answers our yearning hope. And we're going to see examples of each of these in the next 4 weeks out of Isaiah, in the life of Zacharias. We're going to see it in the life of Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, the Magi. So, it'll be a wonderful journey of discovering the Lord as our eternal hope. So if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to start making your way over to John chapter 1. And as you're doing that, just a quick reminder that these 27-minute radio messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. Just click on the broadcast box. Other boxes on that landing page, by the way, include videos, 30-minute videos on portraits of God, others, columns that I've written for a local publication called Whispers of God. Another box has printed guides for all kinds of topics to help you get started and good biblical insights on God and His ways. So yeah, check it out at markpg.org. Well, as we get started, as is our custom, well, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I absolutely love coming to sit at Your feet with my brothers and sisters as we do our best to tune in to the voice of Your heart. Lord, You love to speak to us heart to heart. And Lord, as we're looking at this picture of how You are our eternal hope as we celebrate You this Christmas season, oh, I pray we'll get a fresh glimpse of how You are always there for us in exactly the way that we need You to be there for us. So thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friend. So the Lord is indeed our eternal hope, and He's always there for us as He strengthens our fragile hope. That's the first four takeaways we're going to be talking about in the next 4 weeks in this first of four messages. And so let me take you to John 1 as we get a glimpse of the Lord in eternity past. This is where I'm picking up our portrait of God as being our eternal hope. So in John chapter 1, verse 1 and following, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word," logos in Greek. "In the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him." It's talking about the Lord Jesus, the Word, the Logos. "And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then in verse 14, extraordinary verse, "And the Word," the Logos, Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us. By the way, when you hear songs during the Christmas season talking about O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. But this started, my friends, not when Jesus was born. It started in eternity past. Jesus in the Godhead with the Father, the Holy Spirit, they knew what was coming up. They knew what they would need to do. They knew how the Lord God would become flesh to dwell among us as the Son and empowered by the Spirit. That mystery of three in one. It's not one plus one plus one equals three. It's one times one times one, which still equals one. And I love this. And this is where I want us to begin as we see how the Lord, our eternal hope, strengthens our fragile hope. The Godhead, knowing that man would be created and be given free will, the Godhead knew that man would squander that gift of free will, and that being created male and female, that they would fall in the garden. They would exercise free will to disobey God in the garden, and that would be passed on from generation to generation. And there would be a type of darkness in mankind and in the world where their darkened eyes would need to be opened. And even as they began to discover the heart of God and his ways to dispel the darkness, we see in this passage some wonderful metaphors of how the Lord strengthens our fragile hope. You see, when we lose sight of God and turn away from God and rebel from God, the darkness begins to descend upon our eyes and our hearts and our lives. And any hope that we have is very, very fragile. So let me stop here. This fragile hope is not just in the life of unbelievers yet to become saved, but also in the lives of believers. Isn't it true that there are times when circumstances can start coming up, blowing in like hurricane winds, that, boy, all can look so dark around us, and our hope becomes very, very fragile in that darkness? Well, this is where this passage gives me so much strength to heal and embolden the fragile hope that I'm experiencing, because it gives me a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just present within my heart and present right now, but how he was present in eternity past and will be present in eternity future. And he is the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My friend, when we become saved, we become one with the Lord God, the Godhead, in Jesus Christ. Now, let me just see if I can take it a step further for us to really grab how this is just so stunning. You see, the word logos, which is in the Greek, as I mentioned in this passage, the word logos has traditionally been translated into the word word, but it can also be translated into another English word that is just as valid, but it gives us a deeper glimpse of what this is about. Yes, it's referring to Jesus Christ, but this word, this logos, can also mean conversation. Think about that. In the beginning was the conversation, and the conversation was with God, and the conversation was God. And he, the conversation, Jesus, was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him, the conversation was life, and life was the light of men. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ loves to converse with you. He is an ongoing conversation with you and with me the moment we get saved. God is always conversing with each of us, and he speaks usually in whispers, and it gets so noisy around us, especially in the darkness, especially when our hope is fragile. All kinds of emotions are racing through our hearts, all kinds of struggles in our minds, and it is the Lord who can bring clarity with his whispers, because he has the wisdom of eternity past, and he will be with us in eternity future. He is far bigger than we can possibly imagine, and our problems and our hope only becomes too small when our remembrance of God becomes too small. Our problems become way too big is actually what I should have said. Sorry. Our problems become too big only when our remembrance of God becomes too small. What he's like, what he does, what he says, how he loves to converse with us. So my friend, I just pray that if you find yourself in a season when your hope is getting very, very fragile as to what's up ahead and what's going to happen with you or your family or in this situation or in that or in your church or in this country and with all this political upheaval and all these other things. Listen, our hope can become fragile when we get our eyes set on all those things. But we remember that God is far bigger than that. Huge. Universe huge. And we're but a speck on a planet. He can handle our hearts. He can handle our lives. He can handle our country. He can handle this world. And he is. And though we may not see it clearly, nor may we understand it clearly, it doesn't matter. Knowing who we are in Christ, knowing we are one with him, knowing that he's constantly wanting to converse with us and reassure us, it's okay, I got this, I got you. You're on a need-to-know basis. Take a deep breath. I am with you. I am Emmanuel, the God who is with you. I am the one who was in eternity past and am with you now and will take you with me to be with me in eternity future. Is that awesome or what? I love that. The story of Jesus Christ and Christmas is not in the manger. It started before the foundations of the world, even before Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that's just the beginning of the heavens and the earth. But before that, in eternity past, the Lord was already there. And that is who you are covenanted with, married to, in union with. And he's conversing with us all the time. In the beginning was the Word, the conversation. And the Word of conversation was with God, and the Word was God. And he brings light to the darkness. He brings life where there was death. I love this passage. You can just get lost in this passage and see the enormity of God. So when your hope is fragile, go here and remember who you are one with and who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. Now we have another passage over in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Obviously, as we read all the epic stories in the Old Testament era, it kind of crystallizes as far as looking forward to the Jesus who would be coming in the New Testament era. Over in Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorite verses, chapter 9, verse 6, because there's a promise of God that he gives us when hope was getting very, very fragile in this particular period of time, but it was always fragile throughout the history of Israel. It always is fragile. That's the nature of the weakness of mankind and the struggles and the heartaches of this world. Fragile hope, don't worry about it. When that comes, it's normal. But it drives us to remember how big our God is in eternity past. And also, in this promise out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it gives us a little more specificity about that. Because it says this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, there it is again, Prince of Peace. This is one of the classic portions of scriptures that gives us hope in dark times. It was very dark times in the era in which Isaiah was prophesying and preaching, pointing people to the Christ who was to come. And of course, in the New Testament era, we get a glimpse of the Christ who has come, Emmanuel, God is with us. And now in our era, we look at the Christ who has come back when and is still with us today. And what does it look like? Well, here's some more portraits of God under the umbrella of our eternal hope. He's here, our wonderful counselor, mighty God, eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Wonderful counselor. You ever get confused, disoriented, can't see what's coming up, what you should do, what is clear, what is right, what is wrong? The Lord, our conversation, is always whispering as our wonderful counselor to give you nudges in the right direction. And don't be frustrated that he doesn't give you the big picture and every single step. We couldn't handle it if he did. It'd be overwhelming. I'm very grateful he gives us one step at a time. That's why the scripture talks about how the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, if you're carrying a lamp, you can only see a little bit of light around where you're going to step next. Not much further than that. And you're not going to see more until you take that step, my friend. So let the Lord, the wonderful counselor, receive his whispers. Take those steps, and then he'll give you another whisper. You take another step, another whisper, another step. You don't need to know the whole thing. He's got it, and he's got you. He's our mighty God. You might feel like what you're struggling with is overwhelming, but remember the one you're walking with? He's the mighty one. You don't have to do the fighting. You don't have to do the thinking. You don't have to do the driving on the highway. He's the driver. I've seen those bump stickers. You have too. God is my co-pilot. Talking about a plane metaphor. Well, he's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. And we're not even the co-pilot. We're the passengers on the back. Oh, let God be your mighty God. Receive his love. Receive his wisdom, my friends, as the wonderful counselor. His strength as our mighty God. Receive him as your eternal Father. Again, as I mentioned earlier, he's from eternity past, will be there for us in eternity future, and we can get in on it. Think bigger when you think of God. And he's our Prince of Peace, who brings us peace in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the struggle, able to sleep in the bow of the boat when the storm is raging on the sea. Only in Christ can we do that. So he strengthens our fragile hope. He strengthens our fears, our confusion, our unsettledness, because he loves us. He's our eternal hope who strengthens our fragile hopes because he resides in you and speaks to you all the time. We just have to tune in. Well, let's go to Zacharias. The story of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 20 is fascinating to me. It was another dark time. This was the New Testament era. But remember that in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 400 years of history and 400 years of silence insofar as God speaking in a demonstrative way like he had done many times throughout the Old Testament era. So we don't get any fresh new prophecies other than what was written in the Old Testament era, but we don't get any new expressions of revelation from God in unique ways until the New Testament era dawns and we start reading about the Christmas stories and God beginning to send angels to those that are faithful to hear the announcements of the coming of Messiah. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, where it says this, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him," that is Zacharias, "standing to the right of the altar of incense." Now, Zacharias was a priest, and he was doing his duty, standing the on the right side of the altar. But verse 12 says that Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. All right, now let me stop there. I would be fearful as well, especially in the context of 400 years of absolutely no miraculous actions of God that you could see and hear. It was all being done strictly by faith in that which was unseen for those 400 years. And this is the first time, and this priest of God would know about it. Zacharias was versed in the scriptures that they had at the time. And here he's getting a vision of an angel like he'd read about before but hadn't heard about in the history 400 years prior. So of course he's going to be afraid. Wait a minute, what is going on here? Verse 13, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." So they had been praying for the Lord to give them a child, but now they were advanced in years. Let's pick up the story again. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Now verse 16, and he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Be prepared for the Lord. And by the way, there's a phrase in here about turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. That's right out of the last book of the Old Testament, a prophecy that was uttered there. And so it's being brought up here by the angel. And of course, Zacharias would be very aware of that promise, that prophecy in the last writing of the Old Testament. Now, verse 18, but Zacharias said to the angel, "Okay, well, how will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Okay, good, honest question. We're very old, way past the childbearing years, so we've been praying about it. And of course, that would be a reflexive question. But look at this. Verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, "Well, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." All right, well, let me just be real honest. For years, I thought that's pretty harsh. I mean, it was a good, honest question, and now he's going to be, you know, punished by having his mouth, you know, shut up, unable to speak until everything takes place because he didn't believe right off the bat, especially when we're going to read next time how Mary asked good, honest questions like that. But nothing like that was done to her. In fact, it was the opposite. She was blessed. Well, the reason is there were two different hearts behind the similar question. Zacharias apparently was in a spirit of disbelief, saying, "This is, I just can't believe this. This is just too far-fetched and all." So the angel from God noticed that his belief was a stronger set, a sense of disbelief than Mary was. Mary believed when she asked a question, but he was not believing when he asked a question. And this is not so much a punishment. This is more of a way of God saying, "You know what? Let me just help let me save you from yourself, that you might not utter these kinds of words to anybody else since you're struggling with belief. I'll just let you be silent for a while and just watch and learn, and then it'll be restored to you when all this is fulfilled. I want to protect you from sharing your doubts with any others as I'm preparing to do this great thing." And in that sense, the Lord's protecting him from himself. And you know, sometimes the Lord gives us limitations for that reason. He loves us so much. He knows what we can handle, what we can't. And the Lord has a way of just doing the things that he needs to do so that all can turn out well. By the way, this reminds me of a story of a mom with a teenage girl, and they were having trouble in their relationship and stuff like that. And the mother happened to have some surgery on her jaw and stuff at the dentist and all. They had to wire her mouth shut for about a week for it to heal. So she really couldn't talk with her teenage daughter at all. And in that week's time, though, the young gal had gotten into some serious things and struggles and all, and would come to school and sit down, you know, and stuff. And the mom would go, whoa. And the gal began just to share what was happening. And the mom couldn't respond or say anything. But the girl kept speaking more and more and sharing more and more deeply than ever before. And the mother would just kind of nod and just give her a little hug as she shared. And that went on for that week several times. And lo and behold, they became far more bonded because of the mother's inability to speak than they had been able to for years when the mother was able to speak. We need to listen and watch far more readily than to speak and offer advice. And in this case, it's not a punishment to Zacharias. I'm just going to do you a favor and let you not be able to speak so you can just watch and receive more deeply that which I'm about to do, so that when you do speak, you'll have tons more to say. That's the grace of God. He is our eternal hope, my friend. And he strengthens our fragile hope. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful with this time we get to spend with you, knowing that you are from eternity past and will be with us in eternity future, and you are constantly conversing with us, and we receive that, and let you strengthen our fragile hope, O Lord, especially in this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Oh, until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our eternal hope.